have this amazing opportunity now to welcome Andy Cannon. Andrew Cannon, all the way from Liverpool. Andrew, come in, and we'll just chat briefly before we hand over to you. And hey, that just wonderful to see your fantastic, beautiful, handsome face there.
Hey, I was born with it. It's not my fault.
Liverpool. How was the flight?
Yeah. Well, it took about 3 seconds to get from the front room into the dining room. This is
amazing.
I like this amazing kind of church.
So, Andy, we just had the wonderful privilege of having you over for the Harvest Now School. And of course, you ministered in the church at the end of that time, and we just got to know you over that time to some degree, and been getting to know you more since then as well through some live streams. We've just so enjoyed getting to know you, and so enjoyed just taking you into our hearts and us, being in your hearts, and your beautiful wife Jen. You've ministered all over the place, Europe a lot, Africa a lot. That's where you met Darren Chettle, of course, in Kenya, I think. And you've ministered to thousands of people in one go, in one hit.
Tens of thousands, isn't it?
How many? 20,000, 100,000, whatever the numbers. Yeah. And so we just want to thank you for just the way you love the Lord, the way you love people, the way you love the gospel, and you're staying true to the call. And so we count it a real privilege that you've been willing to live stream into us today and to bless not only Living Waters Christian Center, but everybody who's going to hear your message today and will do over the next number of days. And so God bless you. Thank you so much for joining us. We love you.
Andy.
And we'll hand over to you, Andrew. God bless you.
Oh, thank you so much. I love you guys too. It's times, as I, like you mentioned, I do, I travel a lot and I get around places in Africa, the States, Europe, the UK, up and down the UK. And the Lord is doing wonderful things. And then one of the most dear things to my heart is when he connects me with family like you guys. And I come home and I just like, a piece of me has been left there with you guys. And I love you dearly. And it's a privilege for me to be able to jump on here and just share my heart. And we're in a strange time, right? We don't, it's kind of uncharted territory to do predominantly do church online. We love to gather together and we love to corporately worship together. And I believe that's God's intention for us to corporately worship together and come together and, iron sharpens iron, and to bless one another, embrace one another, be down in the trenches with one another, be on the mountains with one another. And so I'm longing to get back to corporate gatherings. I really find them important for me, and I really appreciate the gathering of the saints. But we have this, we have social media, we have Zoom, we have all these other things, which is amazing, because the reality of it is I didn't think I was coming back to New Zealand as soon as this. And it took 3 weeks and here I am. I didn't take two 11-hour flights. I didn't have a 9-hour layover in Hong Kong. And here we are. I'm in my dining room preaching the gospel. It's amazing. So I just want to thank you guys, and I love you all. I love you all. You guys have stole a piece of my heart, and the Lord was happy for me to give you it. So it's a privilege to get to minister to you guys. And I just want to just pour into this season, really, into this moment, into this blip of eternity, this moment of confusion, this moment of fear, this moment of frustration, this moment of not necessarily knowing what to do and how to do it. So I just want to pour into this season that we find ourselves in. And we've found ourselves in it pretty quick, right? I mean, none of us necessarily seen this coming 4 or 5 weeks ago. Absolutely. I most certainly. I mean, I was in New Zealand with you guys and had to fly, and I was flying over to Auckland for another week. And our good friend Daz Chettle said, I just have this check in my spirit that we need to ring the travel agent. And when we called her, she was like, yep, you need to get out the country now, or otherwise you may be locked in New Zealand for 12 weeks, I think she said. And to be fair, that wasn't really stressing me out. I quite liked it there. At the time, I was in the hot pools and having the time of my life, so I wasn't necessarily in a rush to evacuate New Zealand, but God had another plan. God got me home, and here I am now. So I just want to speak into this season. There's a couple of things that I want to touch on, and there's some things in this season that I know the enemy will try and steal. One is your time, another is your identity, and another is your purpose. And if he can steal your time and crush your identity and distort your purpose in this season, we will come out more confused, more deflated, and more frustrated than when we went in. And I'm longing for the body of Christ to come out of this season stronger, wiser, closer to the Lord, just drenched and saturated in intimacy with the Lord, just in his oil, in this fragrance of transition of intimacy. So when we leave this season, dare I say it, when the traps open and the greyhound comes out, when the quarantine's over, when the prison cell doors shake and we can come out, I want us to come out in such a way that the world will recognize who we have been with whilst in quarantine, whilst in lockdown. Will the world see the church as the same? Because we hear the world is actually calling the church, up until recently, non-essential. Now, as a believer, I find that quite crazy, that the world would deem, you ready? The body of Christ, non-essential. We are essential, and we need to tell the world about Jesus. So, this is four points that I want to touch on, and I just want to briefly skate through them, and then I'm just going to tie it all up, and then we're going to hand back over, and we're going to see where this goes, okay? So, these are the four points that I'd like to just touch on. One is stop. Steady yourself, study your compass, and seek the kingdom wind. Now, stop. A lot of us find that easy, and a lot of us find it very, very difficult. I'm in the latter. I find it very difficult to stop because a lot of my character is most certainly one that wants to continue to move forward. I like to see progression, and I like to get from A to B. But the reality of it is the Lord might be in A and not telling you to move to B. So first, we need to stop. We need to study, steady ourselves, seek your compass, and seek the kingdom wind. So in this season of stopping, how many of us have found ourselves stopping because we've been told we have to? Well, I'm going to put myself in that category. And we have, I think, close to 600 people watching. And I'm pretty sure that there's a great number of you guys watching now that have found themselves stopping really because the government have instructed it and, dare I say, enforced it. So it's kind of an involuntary stop. We're stopping not necessarily because we want to, but because we have to. Now, there's a scripture in the Bible that says, "Be still and know that I am God." It's actually in Psalm 46, verse 10. Be still and know that I am God. Actually, the governmental sanctions and the quarantines are actually positioning us directly into Psalm 46, 10. The government is saying, be still. Be still. Now, we can be still. You can be still as a non-believer. You can be still as an atheist. You can be still as a believer. But what are we being still onto? Are we being still onto Facebook? Are we being still onto I don't know, computer games? Are we being still onto the law? So we find ourselves in a season where we can actually stop. We can stop and steady ourselves. We can steady ourselves. And when something is steady, roots can go deep. Our roots can go deep. And when our roots can go deep, the tree becomes steady. And when the tree is steady, it bears more fruit. Let me read this scripture to you. It's in Colossians 2, verse 7. Let your roots go deep into him, and let your lives be built on him. Then your faith will grow strong in the truth you were taught, and you will overflow with thankfulness. What I would love to see right now, and I'm not being insensitive to people who have lost loved ones, you know, we're to mourn with those who are mourning, okay? Please hear my heart. I'm not dismissing any suffering or hardship right now. But what I would like to see is in this trial and in this turbulent time, there's still to be an overflow in the body of Christ of thankfulness. The Bible also says that the joy of the Lord is our strength. If the enemy can steal our joy, be sure he can steal our strength. So I just want to see the body of Christ stopping, knowing he is God, and steadying ourselves. Let your roots go deep into him. In this season, what are our roots receiving nutrients from? It's vitally important that our roots are in the right soil, because it's so easy to become distracted right now. You see, the enemy, he has no weapons of mass destruction. But what I believe he does have is weapons of mass distraction. If the enemy can bring distraction, he'll bring destruction. What do I mean? If the enemy can bring distraction and steal your time and my time, he is diverting our identity. He is putting who we are and causing us to focus onto something else. Therefore, we will be receiving the nutrients of our focus. And how healthy is our focus right now? And if he can gain our focus, he will distort our purpose. In this season, where we've all been saying prior to this, oh, I wish I had so much more time to focus on this. Well, now we have. Now we have the time to focus, to be still, and let our roots go deep. The third one is study your compass. Study the direction in where you are going. A compass will tell you where you are going. It will tell you the direction in which you are traveling. We have this wonderful opportunity to seek the Lord, who is our compass, the Spirit of the living God, which will lead us into all truth. So he's leading us. Jesus also says, I am the way. Jesus is our compass. So in this season, we are to study our compass. What is the compass? Well, listen to this in 2 Timothy 2:15. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved. As one approved. The Bible tells us that we are to study the word and show ourselves approved. Again, 2 Timothy 2:15. Do your best to present yourself as one approved. Well, how can we present ourselves as one approved? By studying the living word of God. By studying our compass, by fellowshipping with the one who is the way and the truth and the life. And if we spend time studying his word, we will be able to present ourselves as one approved. Listen to this. I'll carry on in 2 Timothy 2:15. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, as a worker who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly handles the word of truth. You see, when we study the word of God, we know who we are and we know who he is. And we know that he first loved us so we can love him. We know that his mercy is new every day. And we know that his love is as far as the east as from the west. And we know that we are forgiven, holy, righteous, with right standing with God. Nothing that we have done, it's all what he has done. So in this season of steadying ourselves and being still and knowing he is God, we can present ourselves to the Lord as one who is approved. One who is approved. I want to spend this season with the Lord knowing that I'm doing all that I can, not whipping myself into submission or flogging myself. No, using this time wisely to get to know my Jesus, so that when I come out of this, dare I call it lockdown, dare I call it quarantine, call it whatever you want, social distancing. When I come out of this season, me and my wife, when we come out, we want to come out differently than when we went in. That is our heart's desire. And I know the Lord says he gives us and grants us the desires of our hearts. So what is it in this season that we're desiring? Okay, fourth one, seek the kingdom wind. The kingdom wind, the Holy Ghost, the spirit of holiness. He is the one. You see, we can pull our sails up, but it will be the Lord that gives it its breath. It's the Lord that will give us our forward motion. So in this season, we are to seek the kingdom wind. Lord, what is your direction? I'm being still. I've stopped. I'm steadying myself with posture onto the Lord. I'm studying the word. I'm studying the word of God. Now, Holy Spirit, where are you taking me? Where are you taking me? Because I'm pretty sure if any of you guys are like me, you always have a lot of things on the horizon. There's so many things that you want to do. There's so many things that you want to achieve in the Lord. So many exploits. And so often, there's so little time to press in. There's so little time to press in, steadying ourselves and seeking the wind. I believe, church, that we have just entered into a season where we can do exactly this. We can enter into this season, one who can be still, one who can steady himself, one who can study his compass, and one who can seek the kingdom wind. And when we are in this season, I believe the Lord spoke to me. The Lord spoke to me. And I actually believe it was when I was with you guys over in New Zealand. It was either when I was with you or it was when I was transitioning home in the airport and on my flights. It was within that time. And the Lord spoke to me and he said, Andrew, I want you to disciple your decision. And I was like, oh, that's great, Lord. I will. I will disciple my decision. That's an amazing thing, Lord. Thank you so much. And then I realized I've made a lot of decisions for the Lord. And I don't mean a lot of salvational decisions, meaning, Lord, save me, save me, save me. What I mean by this is the Lord spoke to me and asked me to open up a discipleship house. So I'm thinking, Lord, is it that decision you want me to disciple? I believe the Lord's spoken to me and we're in the middle of developing an evangelism tool. Lord, is it that decision you want me to disciple? The Lord said, no. The decision I want you to disciple is the decision that you made when you gave your life to me. He said, I want you to disciple your yes. I was like, oh my days, that is wonderful. But it's deep, right? So it takes you right back to that moment of when I and when you said yes to the call of following Jesus. Jesus is calling the church, I believe, right now in this season to disciple your decision, to disciple our decision. What is a disciple? A disciple is a disciplined one. The Lord is saying, Andrew, will you become disciplined with your decision? Will your yes become disciplined? Discipline your yes and follow me. And I'm like, oh, wow. That is so, so amazing, Jesus. So I get to sit back and focus on my yes. Not in running out the house and standing on tables of coffee shops and preaching the gospel right now, which we've all done, I'm pretty sure, or standing on public transport or standing on planes or preaching to 10, preaching to 100, preaching to 10,000, 100,000, which is all part of God's plan, I believe. But right now, I believe God is speaking to his body. God is speaking to his body. And I believe he's saying, be still. Be still. Steady yourself. Steady yourself. Study my word. Study my word, I believe the Lord is saying. Seek the kingdom wind. Because I tell you now, church, I believe this with all my heart, that the Lord is going to open up this. He's going to open up hearts and he's going to send us out. He's going to send us out much stronger, much more unified, much wiser, much bolder, much more on fire for him. I believe evangelism is going to be so easy that we will stop even calling it evangelism. It will just be simple conversations in the supermarket, on the buses, on the trains, in the church, in the playground, the school playgrounds, in the grocery stores, in the chiropractors, in the veterinary clinics, in the libraries. It will simply be a way of life because we'll have been drawn into the Lord. And I believe he's going to deposit something so beautiful into the body of Christ right now that we can receive, almost enter into the season like a sponge and let the oil of the Lord just saturate this sponge so that when we go out, he can wring out this sponge all over our communities, this sponge of intimacy, the sponge of revival, the sponge of fire, this sponge of salvation all over our community. I believe the Lord wants to draw us in to steady us and send us out. So please, please use this time wisely. Don't become distracted. Don't allow the enemy to rob this time. I believe this time is set apart for the Lord because I'm pretty sure that none of you, I can't speak for all of you, but I'm pretty sure that none of you have had this kind of time on our hands. I know for certain that I've not been this still in approximately, well, probably 42, 41 years, but most certainly in the 10 years that I've been preaching and most certainly in the 28 months that I've been in full-time ministry. This is the most I've been still. I've never even been this still on an airplane, let alone for 4 weeks. So I'm using this time wisely. So church, I want to encourage you to really just go into this. Go into this and use this time wisely. you know, I just want to just point to two passages, just to two stories in the Bible. And one of them is, well, actually, they're both where people seem to be locked up. I'm going to refer to Paul and Silas in the book of Acts, where they're in a prison cell, right? The gates are locked. Let's say they're padlocked and chained. And Paul and Silas, they find themselves in what seems to be an impossible situation. Well, the world thought it was impossible because they were locked up and chained. I'm pretty sure the Roman soldiers thought it was impossible for them to get out. And I believe the world right now, with their wisdom, the wisdom of the world, are struggling and feeling it's impossible to get out of this situation. But what I find interesting is Paul and Silas are in this cell. When do the cell gates blow off? When do they blow off? Do they blow off because Paul and Silas are complaining? Are Paul and Silas saying, oh, pity me. Oh, I can't believe this. Oh, I want some, you know, fresh bread and fresh fruit and pomegranates and figs from the trees. They're not complaining. Paul and Silas were not complaining because they were in lockdown, most certainly an involuntary one. Paul and Silas were not complaining. The only concern in Paul's heart was this. During this lockdown, how do I get my revelation of Christ out of this prison cell? Paul wrote many, many, many letters from impossible situations. Paul didn't complain about being locked up. Paul just thought of another way of getting his revelation out. So he wrote letters. He thought, how do I get my revelation out? But one of the things I find beautiful about these situations is when the gates blew off, it was directly after Paul worshiping and praising the Lord. Paul praised the Lord and the gates blew open. The quarantine gates blew open. The lockdown gates blew open. The involuntary social distancing changed. Paul was released. Now, there's another man who found himself locked up momentarily, temporarily. His name was Jonah. Jonah found himself locked up, quarantined, social distancing inside a whale's belly. Now, I find it interesting that Jonah was only spat out of this, of that moment when he worshipped the Lord. It says the whale spat him out. I believe that our prayers and our seeking the Lord in obedience and in hunger and in praise and worship, we will be spat out in a good way, not in a, you know, in an unhealthy way. We will be spat out. The gates will be blown open and we can come out into this season knowing we did all we could do unto the Lord in the situation. So I just want to bless you guys. I want to bless you guys. And I just want you to take it to your heart to use this time wisely. Tomorrow morning when you wake up, are you fighting with the flesh to get into Facebook or your faith book? I want to encourage you to choose wisely and start your day off right. Start your day off standing on solid ground, being still, studying your compass and seeking the kingdom wind. So I hope that blesses you guys. And I'm pretty sure, given the number of views we have, number of viewers we have, there may be some people who may not know the Lord. And they may not have a relationship with him. They may be people who are listening who have had a relationship with the Lord, but things have got in the way and put a distance between their faith in him. Well, I'm speaking to you guys too, and I'm speaking to those ones who feel like they're on the fringes, you know, maybe they're backslidden from the Lord. I want to encourage you guys. And I want to just speak to those people who don't know Jesus. And I want to ask you, if you're watching this and you're listening, and you know that you have this longing to know if Jesus is real, you know that you feel like your life is incomplete and you're missing something, and you don't know actually whether Jesus is real. But I want to tell you something. Jesus is real, and he knows everything about you. So I want to speak to those people who don't know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. And I want to ask you now. I want to ask you, in this moment, will you pray with me? Will you pray with me and ask Jesus into your life and into your heart? Will you make a decision today to become a disciple of Jesus? If you feel that touching your heart, I'm going to pray, and I want you to repeat this prayer after me. You see, the prayer is not necessarily the important kicker here. What's important is that you believe it with your heart, you confess it with your mouth, but then you commit your life to Jesus and that you follow him. So let's pray. Say, Father God, I ask that you forgive me. I'm sorry for living life my way. I ask that you forgive me, Lord, and that you wash me clean with your blood, that you remove all of my sins so I can start a new life in you. Show me how to live, Jesus. Show me how to become a disciple. And I ask, Jesus, that you receive me and you receive my life, Lord, because I'm about to receive yours. So bless you, Jesus, and I ask that I can become a disciple of yours, Lord. Show me your ways and forgive me. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. And for all of you guys that, you know, you feel backslidden and you feel like, you know, you've made a commitment to the Lord, but you don't know whether you're walking this out. Well, you'll know in your heart, you'll know if you've given Jesus your life. So I just want to pray briefly for you guys too. Lord, woo them. Bring them back to you. Their heart's desire is to serve you, Lord. And I pray, God, that you bring them back to you. And I ask you guys that you make the step. You take the step. You take that step right now. And say, Jesus, forgive me. And get yourselves plugged into a local church. Because this is where the discipleship can happen. It can happen there. Corporate worship. Worship the Lord together. Join the family. So I just want to bless you guys. And I just love you. And I appreciate speaking into your life. And I'm just going to ask Wes and Janet to just jump back on here as we transition. Wes and Janet, I love you guys so much. Thank you for allowing me to just pour out my heart from sunny Liverpool. Well, it's actually not that sunny, but you know what I mean.
Thank you so much, Andy. That was really powerful. Just so many wonderful thoughts, so relevant for us. I mean, obviously there's some that, especially ones with little children, they're more busy than they've ever been, you know.
Yeah.
But there are, you know, but at the same token, there's still a fair portion of us who are now finding we've got more time.
Yeah.
And some have had more time right from the get go.
Yeah.
So thank you so much for those encouragements. Really powerful, you know, Facebook or Faithbook.
Yeah.
That's incredibly relevant. I want you to disciple your decision. I want you to disciple your list. That's really powerful. And I'm taking away things from this for myself, Andrew.
Bless you. Yeah. I love you guys so much.
Yeah. And just wonderful to see your face again.
Yeah.
Give our love to Jen. I know she's probably asleep by now. But, possibly. And we'll see you again. We'll see you again soon.
Thanks for staying up late for us, Andy.
Thank you so much. Hey, yes.
Love you.
I'm in Sunday now.
Oh, you are. You're in Sunday now. You've clicked over.
Yeah. I'm live. I'm good to go. God bless you guys. I love you.
Hey, we really love you. Love you. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much.
God bless you, Andrew.
God bless.
God bless. Bye-bye. Wow, wasn't that a privilege?
Wasn't that great?
All the way from Liverpool.
Wow.
Beatle territory.
There we go.
So and, you know, we just want to reinforce. If you have opened your heart to the Lord today, if you've prayed with Andrew, whatever that meant for you, whether you understood what you were really doing or not, what you've done is you've opened your heart, at least to some degree, and given the opportunity for the Lord to come into your life. Maybe you knew exactly what you were doing and you meant it from your heart, which is wonderful. You've received the Lord today and you have received eternal life. You're now one of God's precious and beautiful children. And God sees you as righteous and part of his family. If you would like to connect with us, and we'd love you to do that, then right at the bottom of your screen there, there's an email address, there's a phone number, you can phone and leave a message and we'll follow that through. We'd love to be in touch with you, love to help you and start to put some resources your way, connect you with other believers. And if you live in this region and you're able to start to come to gatherings when we're able to start gathering again, it'll be wonderful to meet you, wonderful to receive you. Amen. And so thank you so much.